Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Mraz. Today we're joined by Mr. Jason Sloan, who is the Regional Programs Manager for the Kentucky Career Center. He works here in Morehead. Jason, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jason, first of all, let's explain what the Career Center is all about and what it does.
Well, the Career Centers are part of the public workforce system that's funded by the Federal Department of Labor. All 50 states have career centers and have access to the public workforce system. Federal dollars flow in to each state. They're tasked to the governors of each state. And the governor assigns those out into the local areas, which are driven by local boards, to be able to identify those local needs to help grow and build the workforce for tomorrow. The career center is actually that springboard that allows the customers to come in, gain access, and receive the tooling and receive the credentialing process to be able to get to that next opportunity.
Are there several of these in this area?
We have career centers. We have a hub here in Morehead. It serves northeast Kentucky. We have access points in Mount Sterling. We have access points in Maysville and Ashland. And then we have several in the southern part of my region down in Hazard and Prestonsburg.
So you have basically you're helping companies find workers and you're helping potential workers find jobs.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, and I can remember when the economy wasn't as good as it is now. It's improving. You know, it's been improving for the last couple of years now. And what used to be a situation of having people looking for jobs and not being able to find jobs has turned around. You and I were talking a moment ago. I spoke to the mayor of Maysville here just yesterday, David Cartmell, and he told me, he goes, Chuck, we're having a real issue up here right now. I said, what's that? He goes, we've got 400 jobs in our town that we're having trouble finding people for. And I said, David, I said, that's not something I would have heard maybe a year, two, three, 4 years ago.
Sure. One of the things back a few years ago when we went into what we called the Great Recession, there were a lot of jobs that were lost during that time. I think the unemployment rate in Kentucky climbed as high as 11%. One of the things that we began to realize as we transitioned out of that recession was just how serious the gap for skilled workers and how much of a demand that was. One of the big things that we started seeing more and more of was, especially today, is the baby boom workforce. It's an older workforce that's starting to retire out. They hold a lot of the skills of skill trades and specific traits that we are desperately trying to fill. Technology is also a game changer in the workforce right now. The jobs of the past are now very, very technology driven. Your average worker has to have some type of college to really be competitive and a credential at best. So there's a lot of focus going on, not only at just the state level, but locally with these local boards of how we work and partner with these businesses to understand exactly what it is that they are needing. And we're trying to grow that workforce from within. You hear a lot of conversations about apprenticeships and being able to help businesses develop those employees internally rather than looking externally like we traditionally think of when you go looking for a job.
You mentioned the baby boomer issue, and I find that fascinating because you mentioned a lot of baby boomers are getting toward that retirement age, and that means thousands and thousands of jobs will be opening up. Could this potentially be a good thing in many ways?
Yeah, it can be a good thing. It gives a lot of opportunity, but one of the things that that I mentioned on is how the workforce is changing. I know when I was in college, one of the things my parents drove home to me was you need to get a college degree, a four-year degree, and that's great. Every generation wants to make the next generation better. But what is happening is the drive for technical skills kind of hit a low point there over the past, I'll say, 20 years. So there was not as much going into that pipeline to develop that workforce for those type of jobs. Now that baby boom generation who is exiting the workforce toward retirement, those companies still have those demands, whether it's plumbing, electrical, HVAC, welders, whatnot. They're very much in-demand jobs, and they're high-wage, high-demand jobs. But the amount of output that we have produced over the past few years has just not is not the equivalent to what we need today. So the focus, not only at the state level and at the local level, is trying to grow those jobs, but how do we not only meet the minimum needs of what business need to be competitive now, but how do we ensure that we sustain that for what they're going to need tomorrow and 10 years down the road? So we're having to have a lot of grassroots conversations with businesses and understand exactly what it is that they're needing and how we can partner directly with businesses to be able to get to the next level.
When you talked about the blue-collar jobs, the so-called blue-collar jobs a moment ago, excuse me, it reminds me of Mike Rowe, the TV star who was in Dirty Jobs, and he's out there right now promoting, trying to get people to get back involved with things like plumbing, being a carpenter, being a plumber, being an electrician, being a welder. There are just not enough people going into these fields. Yep. And I know that over at MCTC, the Rowan campus, I was talking to the director, Russ Ward, about this one time. He said, people don't realize it. These guys who go out into welding after getting 2 years here are going to be making, to start, probably somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000. These are good jobs.
Yeah. And he's telling you every bit the truth. The demand for the jobs are really high right now. The wages are great. And it's basically the market is open for somebody who's willing to go out there and get it and really hustle after it. You can almost demand your wage. The opportunities are abundant right now in technical skills. You know, when I spoke just a few minutes ago about looking back at history and 20 years ago, you know, and the next generation wanting to do something better, I think what's happened over time is people have not maintained the viewpoint as to what manufacturing looks like today. They think about what mom and dad looked like in manufacturing of the 60s, the 70s, or the 80s. And things today are just technology. You see robotics. You see a lot of engineered processes that are going in. You see a lot of computer technology that's replacing what used to be thought out and methodical step-by-step mathematics. And those are pieces that you just can't learn easily. It takes a little bit of classroom training, and it takes some credentialing to get to those points. And that's where the differences are coming in.
You say that, and you and I were also talking about the new Brady Industries plant that will be located up in South Shore that will be creating about 550 full-time jobs, and these jobs are going to be paying $70,000 a year. And they were talking about the people who would be working on the floor of this plant will not be at the assembly line, but most of them will be walking around with iPads. This is high-tech stuff.
Absolutely. And that was one of the things when, you know, we worked with the company in discussions and conversations early on. That was some of the comments that was coming directly from Craig Burchard when he outlined his vision of what he wanted the company to look like. And it's really state-of-the-art processes when you think about it, and it's right here in Northeast Kentucky, and it's not only going to be a game changer, but I think it's really going to be the cusp of something really special, because you know it's going to be connected to aerospace, and aerospace is now one of the leading exports in the Commonwealth, and the Commonwealth is actually I think maybe third nationally as one of the leading export states for the aerospace industry.
You mentioned that, I guess it's aerospace and automotive.
Correct.
And high-tech aluminum.
Correct.
Stuff that is very specialized. But what people sometimes forget is that Brady also plans to build 12 satellite plants somewhere in this region to help service the main plant in South Shore and provide supplies.
Absolutely. And one of the things that this has the potential to be, it has the potential to be similar to what Toyota did in the 80s when they located in Georgetown. It's sprung up several other sister plants that developed different components to whatever the processes were needed at the main plant. And it has the ability to really grow a lot of opportunity, not only for Northeast Kentucky, but the entire tri-state area.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the impact is. And when you talk about the trickle-down effect, mm-hmm. obviously there are payroll taxes, city-county taxes that get paid. This will mean improvements in the school system.
Absolutely.
Roads and other infrastructure. I mean, this could change the entire dynamic of what this region looks like. probably in the next 10 years.
Yeah, and you know, there's no greater gift that you can give someone than a career. And I see these as being careers for individuals for the next 30 years. You know, I see a person who's coming in on day one, and I see them staying till their retirement age. These opportunities are very aggressively pursued in economic development terms. There's a lot of competition for these types of companies. You know, this is a billion-dollar investment. I think the actual investment is of $1.3 billion. That's a lot of money. And to have a lot of money being invested into it, there's a lot of expectation. How the workforce can change this over the next few years, we'll see. But you're absolutely right. From local governments to county governments to state governments, it has the ability to really draw a lot of additional funds in to help with schools and to help with just public utilities and whatnot.
And I think what's really cool about this is that both Morehead State and the Rowland campus of Maysville Community and Technical College are poised right now to be a part of all this, because the new MCTC building here at the Industrial Park in Rowland County will have the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, correct, which will teach students about these skills that they need in the high-tech 21st century manufacturing world. And then you've got the Space Science Center here at Morehead State, which obviously is teaching about aviation and aeronautics. So, I mean, this could be a big deal.
Yes, it can. The new MCTC campus will have state-of-the-art equipment and technology to be able to train today's students for tomorrow's workforce. The aerospace industry is shifting. You used to think of the Boeings and those companies being more of the Great Northwest. Now you're seeing more spread out, and they're locating to where those workers are available at. One of the comments that we were talking about just prior to coming on the show was, you know, thinking back how the workforce has changed over the last 40 to 50 years. You know, our parents, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, they traveled north to be able to find these types of jobs. They left Kentucky, they went to Michigan, they went to Ohio to be able to work in the automotive industry. Today, the automotive industry and manufacturing collectively in all jobs, when you talk economic development and workforce development, those companies are now looking for the next generation of trained workforce, and they are locating in those areas. So now those companies are coming to the worker because they realize that they cannot import that worker, and that is the most vital part of what they need in order to be successful with their business.
And as you and I talked about, when there's competition for the worker, that means better paychecks.
Absolutely.
I was surprised to learn this, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe about a year ago, that aeronautics is actually the second leading industry in Kentucky, and who'd ever thunk it?
Well, and I think that's the shifts. I think that's the I think that's where the workforce has changed so much over the last 20 years. You know, when you look at Kentucky as a state, and you look at us specifically for automotive manufacturing, we have Toyota, we have Ford, we have the Corvette plant in Bowling Green. So we have just hundreds of smaller companies that supply everything from the hoses, the belts, the seats, for all of those main plants that are separate from the main. And that's where this opportunity in Northeast Kentucky has the ability to go to next. It's not so much the 500 initial jobs. It is the opportunity for growth over the next 10 years of hundreds of more jobs.
Well, and certainly, too, all the other spinoff jobs that result from a booming economy.
Absolutely.
Again, our guest today is Jason Sloan, Programs Manager with the Kentucky Career Center here in Morehead. I'm Chuck Morales, back in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to Front Page. I'm Chuck Morales. Again, Jason Sloan, Regional Programs Manager for the Kentucky Career Center here in Morehead, is our guest. And, Jason, we've talked about some of the job growth in different areas. But right now, where do you see a lot of the demand for workers?
Well, I mean, I think that there is a lot of demand in a lot of areas. Specifically, one of the things our board does, and the public workforce system is broken down and controlled by local boards. I sit on two of those boards. I sit on the TENCO Workforce Development Board, and I sit on the East Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program Board out of Hazard. And what we do is we constantly monitor that workforce. Our boards are made up of 51% private sector members, and those members represent the high-growth, high-demand industries that's going to have those jobs for the future. And basically what we're doing is we're looking at those sectors, and those sectors can include everything from manufacturing to advanced manufacturing, healthcare, IT, distribution and logistics, just to name a few, skill trades. There's just a demand for those jobs right now, and that's where when you talk about the 400 jobs that you'd had a conversation with, I think, in Maysville, those are common threads across the Commonwealth right now. I speak with business every day that I'm at work. And that's a theme that I hear repeatedly, that we have the jobs, we just can't fill them. But those jobs are the technical skill jobs. And that's where the boards come in. We're trying to close that gap, and we're trying to create what we call a talent pipeline, to where we take an individual who has they don't have the skills to be competitive in today's workforce. And we take those federal workforce dollars and we train and we partner with the Morehead States and the MCTCs and all the technical college training providers to be able to train to get that individual into one of those sectors that's going to be able to lead them to a job that's going to give them a family-sustaining wage.
Do you have to stay on top of the moving trends regarding job growth in certain sectors and kind of almost forecast where you're going to see needs?
Yes. We do a lot at the state level. We have a group with what we call KSUS, and that basically stands for the Kentucky Center for Workforce Statistics. And basically what they're doing is they track all those movements through with the economy, and they see those demands, and they see those shifts. And they provide that data to not only our state leadership, but we have the ability to pull that information and look at that at a local level. Being able to apply that data to those shifts and understanding as a board where we need to put our money to be able to train these workers, that is where what our jobs are. We look to close that gap as quickly as we can, but we realize it's kind of like turning a large vessel at sea. It doesn't happen overnight. And these shifts that have created the demand today didn't happen just overnight. We have to stay competitive with the technology that's there, and a lot of times that requires continuing training and to be able to continue that on. And that's where the apprenticeship and the partnerships for what we call on-the-job training comes in with a lot of businesses, where a business may have an employee who has 75 or 80% of the skills needed, but they're small skills, and we can come in and we can work with that business, and we can pay certain percentages of the wages while they train that worker to help keep their costs down, but yet close the gap on what's needed.
Do you have to embark perhaps on a public relations campaign of sorts to educate people about the fact that there are a lot of great jobs out there that need to be filled, and they're looking for somebody like you if you can just develop the skills in some way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been in this job for quite a while, and one of the things that I have learned over several years is that we're one of the best-kept secrets. It's businesses don't always realize exactly what is all out there. So we have business service teams that cover all of the eastern half of the Commonwealth in my regions. And what our mission is to be able to create one-on-one conversations with business, to be able to understand exactly what it is, and then to educate them, this is what we can do. This is exactly how we go about taking this worker, putting it inside of your company, and this is how the training path is going to go. And the employer is not only a part of that conversation, they're at it from start to end. So we want to make sure at the end of the day that we're meeting all the demands of the business, but we're doing it in such a way that we're educating them for continuing growth.
You've got an interesting background. You're in workforce development right now, but when you started down your own career path, you were nowhere near that.
That's correct. I mean, when I graduated from Morehead State University, I was actually in health education and health promotion, and you never know where your next job is going to take you to, obviously. But I had a passion for health promotion and health education, but I also had a passion to be able to help people. And one of the opportunities that I have found probably the most rewarding is being able to assist a customer or a business, especially a small business, that's growing, or they don't have that family sustaining wage, or they don't have the skills to be competitive. And you help those individuals meet their needs and change their lives and watch them become competitive people in today's society and workforce. That's about as rewarding as anything that I have found thus far.
I have to believe that. Just watching someone change the entire dynamic of their life and build something from sometimes nothing.
Yeah. And we have a lot of innovative folks. I mean, you know, we do a lot of partnering with the Small Business Development Center and Mark Murphy here at Morehead State University. We have a lot of conversations, and they do a lot of great things. When you think about your opportunities, it's not always just going out and finding the big box company to work and receive your paycheck. It's if you've got a dream and you've got a vision, you can be your own boss. And that's where small business development comes in. That's where the Innovation Launchpad comes in, to be able to help those businesses see what their potential are and access the ability to bring those companies off the ground.
So many people talk about the American dream, which starts out with, if you're willing to work hard, you can make something of yourself. And in the last few years, you heard maybe the American dream is going away, but it sounds like it's reviving. And I still believe in my heart that if you find someone who's willing to put in the time, willing to put in the effort, they can make something of themselves, and they can build a tremendous life, not just for themselves, but also their families and friends or whoever, if they hire people.
Absolutely. I think the American dream is very much alive today. We serve about 30,000 customers a year through our career centers, and just here in Morehead alone. And, you know, we touch them from not only in person as they come into the career center needing that one-on-one counselor, but we have a variety of services that come in online. And being able to see those individuals develop, like I referenced a moment ago, it's very heartwarming to watch that person who struggled to be able to figure out how they were going to get to their next meal, to not have a home, you know, to be in living with a family member, to all of a sudden now you see them and they've got their own vehicle, they've got their own home, and they're doing very well. That's the rewards of the public workforce system. It's a free service to be able to come in from a business, to be able to look and access these tools. There's not a cost. The customer can come in and be able to access these services. There's not a cost. So we try to do a tremendous amount of education to what it is that we do and how we help. Last Friday, I spoke to a group here in Morehead with the coalition down at the conference center. And one of the things that I referenced is that, you know, if we really want to change what it is that we're doing with today's workforce, it's got to be business-led and business-driven. And they have to be on board. And it starts with those grassroots conversations of being able to say, this is what we want to do, this is how we want to partner, and this is what we can offer you. And helping them understand those pieces that we can work together on.
We need to wrap things up, but how can people get a hold of you, Jason, at the Kentucky Career Center?
Absolutely. We're located down at 1225 U.S. 60 West. We're located next to the Morehead Inspiration Center. We're open Monday through Friday. Just come in and see us. I have a wonderful staff. We can sit down and talk to you about whatever opportunities that are out there and possibly whatever training needs that you may need.
Phone number there is 606-783-8525. Jason Sloan, thanks so much for joining us on Front Page. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
Again, that's Jason Sloan, Regional Programs Manager for the Kentucky Career Center here on Front Page. I'm Chuck Meraz. See you next time.